Let's now turn to the heart of a catechism, Lord's Day 37. We're still on the third commandment, and we're going to reflect on a different aspect of the third commandment, which is found on page 42, the very end of 42. Let's respond to the questions, or question. I'm sorry. Yeah, questions. But may we swear reverently by the name of God? Yes, when the magistrate requires it, or when it may be needful otherwise, to maintain and promote fidelity and truth to the glory of God and our neighbor's good. For such an oath is grounded in God's word, and therefore was rightly used by the saints in the old and therefore was rightly used in the saints in the old and new testaments. May we swear by the saints or by any other creatures? No, for a lawful oath is a calling upon God that He, as the only searcher of hearts, may bear witness to the truth and punish me if I swear falsely, which honor is due to no creature. Brothers and sisters, oaths or vows are valuable when they are done for the right reason. The purpose of our vows is to really call upon God to authenticate that we're going to keep our promise. We must be people of our word. We speak the truth out of fear of God and not out of fear of man. Because if we speak out of fear of man, we're really giving them the reverence that alone is due to God. No creature deserves that. No creature deserves to be called upon for help. Now, only God is to be revered by everything that we do. Now, yes, we give respect, we give, you know, honor to men who or people who deserve that. But at the end of the day, the reason why we do everything that we do and say the things that we say is out of reverence for God. And God is the one who knows our hearts truly. So therefore, being honest and having integrity are not just good morals, but it comes from the fact that we are accountable to Him. And all of our life is for His glory. And everything we must do must be done in truth, because our God is the very source of all truth. He is the truth and the life. Our lives are defined by oaths and vows in many different ways. As citizens of a country, of this country, we are we abide by the law of the land. If we, in one circumstance, we are a witness of a crime or an accident, we have the opportunity to help our neighbor to get justice. As church officers, we make vows before God and to the congregation that we're going to be faithful to our calling. As a pastor, I made a vow to you that I will be faithful in my responsibilities. And as members of a congregation, you make vows to one another that you're going to care for the needs of this congregation. If you're married, you exchange vows to be faithful to your spouse to the end. If you're an employee, you also make a vow, whether by contract or ultimately by the Lord, that everything that you do is for as working for Him, not ultimately working for man. But the Lord does not command us to do something that He Himself does not do. When making a promise to Abraham, God swore on His own name. If you go back to Genesis 12, God swears on His own name that He is going to keep His promise. In other words, God said to Abraham, and really to the church, that if I fail to keep my promise, then I myself will cease to be God. Which is quite an astonishing thing for God to do. And that's why He had the animal split in half. So when He passed through, God is saying, I will become like these dead animals if I fail to keep my word. And ultimately, God has kept His word through His Son, Jesus Christ, as He promised to Abraham, I will make you a father of many nations. By you, the world will be blessed. And through the accomplishments of His Son Jesus Christ. He now blesses the world through sending His church out into the world to proclaim the gospel. He preserves and keeps and adds on to His church daily and to the very end. So God is a promise keeper. Our world, on the other hand, views promises or vows as disposable or whenever it suits them. As long as it suits them, then fine. But if it doesn't, then they turn a blind eye or throw away the oath altogether. Christians should be the ones demonstrating that words and promises do matter. Speaking and living the truth is important to us because we bear the name of Jesus Christ. Again, because He is the way, the truth, and the life. We do everything in His name and for Him. If you read 2 and 3 John, you'll read this repeated phrase, to walk in the truth. And is certainly a rich term, and I can't unpack all of it right now. But in essence, we walk in the truth because the truth abides in us, and Christ abides in us. Right? So we are a people of the Word of God, and we are people who have Christ dwelling in us. And so we must walk in the truth. Amen?